Welcome to the Forager Podcast, where I talk with cottage food entrepreneurs about their strategies for running a food business from home. I'm David Crable, and today I'm talking with Michelle Dukes. But real quick, I wanted to check, have you created a website for your business yet? And if you have, do you pay for it? A lot of entrepreneurs still think they need to spend money to get a good website, and that is simply not true anymore. I am a really big fan of Square Online. That's what I use for my fudge business's website, and I created a free tutorial that will walk you through how to set up a totally free website in less than an hour. And in case you think free also means cheap, it's actually quite the opposite. I think Square Online is hands down the very best website tool for most cottage food businesses. So if you want to learn more, you can watch my free tutorial by going to forager.com/website. All right, so I have Michelle Dukes on the show today. She lives in Penfield, New York, and sells jumbo muffins and cookies with her cottage food business, The Cookie Cutters. Although Michelle has thousands of Facebook followers and has sold thousands upon thousands of baked goods over the last 13 years, she doesn't run her business to make a large profit or to become a brick and mortar someday. Rather, her business is primarily a social and creative outlet for her, and most importantly, she focuses on having fun with it. In this episode, you'll hear how her business has changed significantly over the years and what she's learned along the way. And with that, let's jump right into this episode. Welcome to the show, Michelle. Nice to have you here.
Thank you, David, and welcome to my kitchen.
Michelle, I know you've listened to the podcast a lot. You know how it works. Can you take me back to the beginning of this journey?
Oh, so long ago. It'll be 13 years coming up in March. I was one of those kids that decorated Christmas cookies at the table long after your siblings had already left. So I was an art major in school, and so I seemed to seek out creative outlets. I was always the one that would give you cookies for Christmas, and they always told me, oh, they're so beautiful, so delicious. You really should do this as a business. And I would always reply, well, no, I wouldn't want to do that because then it wouldn't be any fun. It would just be work then. In 2009, I found myself unemployed. And one of my friends, Marcy, wanted me to decorate cookies for her daughter's wedding in 2010. So that was my first order. And that's when I realized people would pay me to make cookies. Didn't even know it was such a thing until I started looking into it. And back then, that was really when it all just started, when Sugar Bell started and Lila Loa was starting. So there was only a little bit of information for me to follow along with at that time.
So yeah, I mean, that's when a lot of the cookie decorators got started, was back then. How did you learn when you started decorating?
I was able to find a few blogs or videos from Sugar Bell, I believe. I remember seeing her, and I just did it. I made it my own because I don't use royal icing. I call it buttercream-ish, and that was unheard of, but I didn't know I couldn't use it, so I made it work.
And it looked like you started the business with your daughter, is that correct?
I did. That's why I made it plural, Cookie Cutters. She's kind of a backup. She has more talent than I have, art-wise. And so she was a backup for if I had a large order, if I needed help, she would help. She kind of grew out of that. She will help me once in a while if I'm over my head to this day, but not too much. She's a busy woman on her own now.
How old was she at that point in
2011? It's 22.
Okay, so she was already an adult by this point.
Yeah.
Now, you started selling, and I can see from your Facebook page, you made a lot of cookies that first year. Did this business take off immediately as soon as you started to sell?
Obviously, it did ramp up. It wasn't instantaneous. I had a good circle of friends that was able to work cookies into whatever they did. So that helped. But yeah, each year was a little bit more. And us cookiers, as a personality trait, hate to say no. And so it's easy to get over your head.
Do you feel like you've learned to say no over time? Or do you still feel like, you know, you're just doing as much and as many markets as you possibly can?
I think with age and wisdom, yes, I do say no to things a little more often. I'm more picky about what I do because I want to be happy. So if I don't want to do something that weekend, I won't do that show, or, you know, I make what I want to make. And so, yeah, I do say no more often. And this allows me to take time off that I need, even just as self-care, or want to do something with the grandsons, or, you know, I can say, nah, I don't want to do that. So I'm going to take that off. Like after the holidays, they're still quite busy. And so come January, I'm beat. I'm done. And I basically take all of January off. I might have taken February off too this year, but that's okay. If I can do it, I just sometimes need that self-care.
When do you recall that first time when you felt like you're in over your head with cookies?
I don't remember the year, probably a good 5 years into it. And it was Christmas and I was doing Christmas cookies. And I had a regular customer and I was doing her works Christmas party cookies for all her employees among probably three other orders. And I mean, there's many nights that you pull all-nighters, but this was an all-nighter. And I think the frosting was still wet when I was packaging them and tried to get her, you know, get them to, she was at my house to pick them up and I was still packaging cookies. It was a mess. And she was very polite and very understanding about it. That's when I knew, like, yeah, maybe I bit off too much that I could chew.
I actually thought you were going to say 2011 because I saw that cookie madness, as you call it, in 2011. You made almost 4,000 cookies that year. You're telling me you were not over your head in 2011?
Well, that's not decorated cookies. Yes, I tend to lose my mind, and that's why I call it cookie madness every Christmas. I take a week, and I just make cookies. And that's what we give to all our relatives and all our friends for Christmas, is a box of assorted cookies. And I think each year I tried to beat my old count. So each year it went up from there. Yeah, I lose my mind and I make lots of cookies at Christmas.
So when you started to sell in 2011, I don't even know if New York had laws back then. Was that something that you looked into at all?
I did not. And so I don't know when New York State started their cottage food movement. I didn't know. And I just was selling to friends and whoever liked my page. I was doing a lot of things that I shouldn't have been doing. There's a fear associated with it. Like, oh, I'm going to have to be inspected. I can't go through all that and I'll never pass. And so there's a fear associated with it. And so I did a lot of things I wasn't supposed to do. But eventually I did do the right thing. I think it was 2018 I finally got my New York State's home processor approval.
Yeah, and by that point, their laws, I think, had just improved. For the longest time, they didn't let you do custom orders, right?
Correct. Because it was probably a year before that, yes, I was trying to do what I was supposed to do and do things the right way. And so I did start looking into it. And yeah, you weren't supposed to take custom orders. There was a lot of regulations. And I'm like, my whole business is custom orders. And at that time, I hate to admit, I was shipping everywhere because I didn't know you shouldn't. So I had customers all over the country.
Well, the custom order thing never made any sense to me. You know, it was like, why does it matter whether it's a custom order or not? But from my understanding, it's because the law only allowed you to sell from markets. Is that right?
Yes, you could only sell from farm agricultural outlets. So like a farmer's market, like you couldn't go into a craft show, but you could only do agricultural settings is I think the way I forget how they put it.
Right. It was the ag department in New York that oversaw the law because they were the ones that managed all that. That was where the restriction on custom orders came in, because a custom order would be overseen by the health department and there was no law to allow that at that time. So I guess the ag department has just made their own rules over time, and especially during the pandemic, everything's gotten a lot better, and you can do a lot now with the law, right?
Yes, I feel very comfortable. I realized that I didn't check the website that often. So when I finally heard from somebody, I don't know, in passing, that we could finally branch out and we could sell at any type of vendor show, craft show, farmers market. So we could even, you know, we could take orders and we could even start selling wholesale. We could put our products into stores and things like that. So that was pretty exciting. Then I started doing shows.
Yeah, I know you've done a lot of shows, a lot of markets. So when did that start?
I started farmers markets about 2017. And I use the term farmers market very loosely because it was basically the farmer and me in the middle of a parking lot. I was actually a customer of hers. And so I'd gotten to know her through the years. And when I started thinking of doing all of this, I just, well, let me ask her, see how much she would charge me to set up a table here. And she said, I won't charge you anything. I want you to make money. So there's no charge. I was like, how can you beat that? I might as well try it. So that was a perfect opportunity for me to get my feet wet and see what I was going to have to do. And just was a good opening for me. I wasn't very popular. The funny story is, in that plaza, there was a fitness center, and they're not usually looking for cookies or brownies to buy. And most of the farmers' clientele were over 65, and so sugar isn't necessarily a beneficial thing for them either. So I really had to pull some teeth to try and get some sales in there. But we made some good friends and I had some good regulars, but it was tough in that plaza.
So that was in 2017 that you started. So we're talking like 6 years here. Were you just selling on your own? You weren't selling at an event or anything, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And you were selling all over the country. So were you on Etsy? Were you advertising online?
No, I'm pretty old school. And even today, all I have is my Facebook page. I just take messages in my Facebook page and they tell me what they want. And they would PayPal me the order and I would ship it out to them. And that was just decorated cookies. Yeah, cutouts.
Yeah, it's not typical for someone who's been running a business for over a dozen years to not have a website. Is that just because it was overwhelming to you, the technology, or did you make a conscientious decision that you only wanted a Facebook page?
It was and still is overwhelming for me. I would say, I don't know, saying I get addicted very easily to social media. At that time, I was on either my personal page or my cookie cutters page basically 24/7. I had it open all the time. I was just always on it. And I just knew that other things would be just too much for me. So like a website would be too much. I'm not even on Pinterest. You know, I mean, everyone's like, you got to join Pinterest. I'm like, I can't. I just can't do it. You'll never see me. I won't ever leave the house. I just can't do it. So today, I still just have my Facebook page, and that's enough for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I have seen that you're super duper active on Facebook. Is that just because you're trying to expand your business, or it sounds like it's who you are, right?
I think so. My husband says I overshare too much, but it's just me. And I have the mindset of it's going to go where it's going to go. I try to do the best things that I can and help my business. But I don't, you know, I don't purchase ads. I don't do all the other marketing things. I just figure they'll find me. You know, if they find me, they want something, they'll let me know. And I'm just going to do what I do and hopefully benefit from it.
Well, you've managed to get over 6,000 followers on your Facebook page now. Was that a gradual ramp up or did you go viral at some point?
No, it was gradual. Actually, a lot of it was early on. I get a few filtering in from my farmers markets and things now, but yeah, it's a fun following. It's all over the country and a couple famous people I've seen peek in once in a while. So that's exciting. It's great. I love the interaction.
I noticed you did a lot of decorated cookies before and posted most of your decorated cookies, you know, years ago. And now you do a lot of muffins instead. And so do you think that's why a lot of those followers came in the beginning? Because they liked looking at all the fun decorated cookies?
The decorated cookies are a little bit flashier than muffins. But the most recent farmers market that I'm in currently, that I started in 2022, when I inquired for them, they already had a baker. They already had somebody that did cookies. And me not really wanting to give up, I said, well, I make muffins too. She says, oh, well, we don't have anyone that does muffins. So I was in. So I'm like, okay, I'll do muffins now. So, because I didn't mind, baking is baking to me, and I'm fine switching gears. And I switched from the first farmer's market because it really died, just fell off. I got so I couldn't like give things away. It was, I had overstayed my welcome, so to speak. And even the farmer, she discontinued a year later. At that one, I was selling everything. I was trying to please everybody. I was making drop cookies and cutouts and brownies and pound cakes. And I was doing regular size muffins. It's funny because the regular size muffins, I'll say it again, I couldn't give them away. They just didn't want them. But the minute I changed them into jumbo muffins, then they sold like hotcakes. So if anything, don't give up. Keep trying. Change a little bit. You never know what people want. So now I make jumbo gourmet muffins for the farmer's market.
So was that farmer's market the sole reason why you switched? Because it doesn't look like you make many custom decorated cookies at all now.
Yeah, I don't do many now. It's hard to sustain cutouts, highly decorated cutouts. It's very easy to get burned out very quickly. And a lot of the cookiers that I came up with in the beginning, I can count on one hand how many are still doing them. They've moved on to either better things, like still cookie related, but into different areas of it. And some just don't do them at all. I started having trouble with my hands because it is tough on your hands. It's tough on your body, just sitting there piping and whatnot. So I kind of just tapered off and went to doing the muffins. I still like doing the cutouts, but I'm happy if I can just put frosting on them and some sprinkles and call it a day.
Well, certainly there are a lot of bakers that are really successful doing the custom decorated cookies now. But I'd say if they're charging the right price for it, you know, and that sort of helps it be sustainable. What were you charging for your custom decorated cookies back then?
I had gone up to $40 a dozen.
Okay, so just over $3 a cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, I'd say that's probably on the lower end of what, you know, I see. Would you agree with that?
Yes. At the time that I went to 40, that was the high end, probably at least a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. But yes, I do know things have gone up quite a bit and it would be lower today. Yeah.
It's interesting that you said that when you switched the muffins from regular size to jumbo, they all of a sudden started selling like hotcakes. And I've seen the same thing happen in cookies, right? Like selling regular size drop cookies. I haven't seen a lot of people doing super well with that, but the jumbo sized cookies are, you have been a huge trend in the last few years. So is that something that you've experimented with as well?
I've seen this exact same thing. Yeah, everything now is the jumbo cookies or the stuffed cookies, cookies the size of your hand. And I did try one stuffed cookie and it was good, but for me, it's not sustainable. I can't put that much work into it. And I think the area that I'm in isn't going to pay for the work that's needed to put into these gourmet kind of cookies. I do well with drop cookies. I do the drop cookies when I go to different craft shows because the craft shows aren't quite so muffin friendly. They want cookies. So I do the drop cookies. The thing that I started to do at the farmer's market, because I couldn't do cookies because there was already somebody there that did cookies, I make now bites is what I call them. And they're kind of layered cookie that I make in a mini muffin tin. So like Brookies would be the obvious thing. It's half chocolate chip cookie and half brownie. And that I have to have every week. So these bites seem to be fun and they like, you know, they can eat them on the go. I put three in a little cup and they can walk around the fair or walk around the farmer's market with them. And that seems to work. So I get around the cookie restriction and I kind of make these little bites, I call them.
And what is your price point for these muffins or the bites?
The jumbo muffins are $5 and I'll do a 4 for $18. And the bites are also $5 and there's 3 bites in a cup.
So that sounds like some pretty good pricing there. $5 for a muffin, and I guess people aren't batting an eye at that price.
Not too much. Of course, you get some that do, and I understand that. I think rightfully so. Some of the ones that do get pretty involved, and I probably should charge more than $5, but that seems to be a happy price point at the farmers markets, and that does well. A lot of times they buy multiples, so they save a little bit, yeah.
Now, I know you just got into wholesale, right?
I did. I have found a couple of places that I can take a few muffins in. It's been a very gradual uphill climb, so I haven't found the perfect fit for that yet.
Are the stores also selling your muffins for $5?
The muffins for the retail go to $6.
So it sounds like you'd like to do more stores, but it's been hard to get into them.
They're willing to let me try. So I haven't really had pushback as far as the stores. It's just getting the right fit, getting the right customers. The thing I worry about is I lose control of my product at that point. You know, I do go in and I will replace and I'll pick up what's old and put in fresh. But it's not like a week long. There's days that they don't have muffins. So like only the weekends, I will put muffins into the store only on the weekends. I feel I lose some control in it is all. I just got to find the right fit. Haven't found the right customers.
So even the stores you're in now, you're saying that that's not working that well yet?
Correct. Like I might sell, I'll give them a dozen muffins to start with, and they only sold maybe 4. So then I would only give them 6 muffins. And it's just a long climb. They did well in the holiday because everybody buys everything. I did a dozen, you know, at that point. For a couple of weekends. But yeah, it's just a slow to get people to know you're there. And their retail, they're not necessarily really repeat customers. So like it's a furniture store. One place is mainly a furniture store, but they have other vendors in this co-op kind of thing. I don't think there's a big repeat customer. So even if you know there's muffins there, they don't necessarily come back for more kind of idea.
I wonder, with the wholesale, you're not selling that much, maybe because it's just people aren't looking for a muffin when they go to a furniture store. I don't know. But I was thinking about your decorated cookies and that if you theme them to different times of the year or whatever's going on at a particular time of the year, those might stand out at the checkout counter wherever they're being displayed. And you might have more success selling them. Maybe, I don't know, but it might be worth testing.
Right. And I said furniture store, that's mainly what she opened the store for, but it's a co-op. So she already had somebody that does cookies. So she was allowing the muffins. So yeah, there was already a cookie presence there. Luckily, I mean, they put them right by the register. So it's a grab and go kind of thing, but it just really didn't. You know, like I couldn't, I gave them a dozen and I couldn't sell a dozen. Like I was like, geez, you know, I can only take them 4 muffins this week, you know, kind of thing. And then the other place that I tried, she had the same experience that they didn't do well, but during the week having something all the time, but she spotlights a baker on the weekends. So she would just bring in a different baker every weekend to have their things. Well, I did that and it was all right, but it was just this Christmas and like they're only good 4 days max, like just through the weekend is all I would sell it. But I was sick and I wasn't able to go and pick up my things until like Monday or Tuesday and they still had the muffins out for sale. And I'm like, thank God nobody bought them because they would be awful. So I lost that control. Like, even though I told them, oh, just, you know, through Sunday, I thought the sale was only through Sunday. They'll be okay through Sunday, but they never took them down because I wasn't able to come pick them up. I kind of lost that control and I want to put out a good product. I don't want any dings in my reputation. So I just haven't found the right fit for that yet.
This is kind of generic wholesale advice, but generally speaking, what I would recommend to somebody going into wholesale is you have to focus a lot more on branding at that point. And you probably heard me talk about that on the podcast. But if you don't focus on branding with your packaging and your labels, then you really have to have someone in the store advocating for you. Because obviously you can advocate for yourself at the markets, but if there's nobody in the store, like the owner, who's saying, hey, have you tried these muffins? Then, you know, your branding has to advocate for you.
That's true. You need that eye catcher. Yeah, because if a customer comes to my table, they're buying a muffin. I can talk up my muffins. They'll buy a muffin.
That's actually very surprising for me to hear. What do you say, or how do you get people to buy a muffin if it's their first time interacting with you?
I tend to bake only what I like. I don't like nuts, so I don't add nuts, you know, that kind of thing. I only bake what I like. So if I have leftovers, I'm eating it. So I put part of me into these muffins, and I can sit there, stand there, and tell you exactly what's in there. My peach cobbler muffins, I only make them during peach season. I only make them with that man's peaches because I buy them at the farmer's market, and I only make them during, you know, during peach season. After that, I don't make them. So they know it's a special thing. I make a cinnamon roll. Oh, it's got a gooey cinnamon center, just like a cinnamon roll. It's got white chocolate chips in it. Yeah, these are really good. So if you come, you're buying a muffin.
So you had told me before we started this interview that your business isn't super profit focused or profit driven. Can you tell me a little bit about what's behind that? Because I know you sell quite a lot.
I don't know if I have a good answer for that. Part of it maybe is I don't want to think that I'm lazy, but I think part of it's laziness. Like, I want to do the baking. I want to be at the head of my table at farmers markets. I say hi to everybody. That's the fun part for me. And it kind of goes back to the beginning. Like, I don't want this to be work. I want it to be fun. And I have fun on my Facebook. I mean, do I keep track of stuff? Sure, I keep track of everything, but I'm happy if I make more than I spent at the grocery store for supplies. That makes me happy. It puts mad money in my pocket. Am I getting rich to buy a new car? No. But I'm taking care of what needs to be taken care of, you know, so it seems to be enough for me right now.
Well, I think you kind of touched on it there, but like, what's your why? Why do you do the business, and why do you keep, you know, expanding it or changing it or adapting as you need to?
I think it's just, I want to have fun doing it. I want to have fun. I want the fulfillment rather than the monetary. I'm outgoing, at least with strangers. If I don't sell anything, I'm still having fun talking to everybody that comes to the shows, kind of thing. At the farmer's market, I walk around and talk to all the other vendors. You know, you know, I leave my table, I go, it's a social thing for me. I want it to be more fun rather than, oh my God, I got to make muffins today, or oh, I got to do more cookies. You know, can I take the day off? No. So I don't want it to be work, kind of thing.
So you're obviously a people person. You do it for the social interaction. I'm thinking about the pandemic, you know, not as much social interaction. Was that a challenging time for your business?
It was. It was pretty much non-existent. I do know some bakers that profited through it, that did well. I was the type that I shut down. I didn't think anybody would want something from someone else's home. So I basically just stopped. I didn't do anything during the pandemic.
Well, I did see Cookie Madness 2020 was pretty successful.
Well, yeah, you got to do Cookie Madness.
Where did that come from? You know, you call it Cookie Madness. It's like an event. Like, when does it start? When does it end? Like, how did this concept come up?
I have no idea. It just happened one year. And I literally go crazy. And I decided to call it Cookie Madness. I name it the year that I do it. And it's basically a week long worth of baking cookies. It's usually the week just before Christmas, and I make thousands of cookies. I have fun with my Facebook when I start making this list of cookies that I want to make. It's all drop cookies. I'll make one, maybe one cut out so they have something pretty in the box, but otherwise they're all different drop cookies. And I start going through all my cookbooks, and I have my favorites, and then I want to try new stuff. So I make a list of what I want to make, and it turns out to be like 30 kinds of cookies. And I'm like, yeah, that's not realistic. And so I have to try to eliminate, and I get my husband and my daughter involved. Like, what should I cut out? What should I keep? So I try to narrow it down. I think I've gone down to like 12 kinds of cookies. And then I just make thousands of cookies. And yes, I do count each one that I make.
Well, it sounds like the creative aspect of this is important to you too, right? You said at the beginning that you were an art major in college, I think. So is that part of what drives you in this business as well?
Yes. I realized that my personality does need some type of artistic outlet. My previous job was at a country club and I was clerical. I was the receptionist. So I got to talk to people. That was good. And then my job in the office was to do their monthly newsletter. So that was creative for me, formatting the newsletter and getting pictures and writing the articles and that kind of thing. So I guess no matter what I do, I tend to gravitate towards that creative aspect. So baking seemed a good fit.
Well, you know, you did the custom decorated sugar cookies for a long time. Obviously, that's creative. You switched over to mostly muffins now. Do you feel like that still kind of satisfies that creative need?
It does, because I don't do anything simple. Like I make a peach cobbler muffin that I only make during peach season with farm fresh peaches. And that I'm known for. They do come for those peach muffins. And I might like pick two recipes that I find and, well, I don't want to do that. I want to add that to it. And let's combine these two recipes and make this different. And what kind of chips can I add to it? You know, so mixing things up is pretty creative. And if it has streusel on it, all the better.
As you think back on when you did a lot of the custom decorated cookies, were there any kind of designs that were your favorites or anything that you've made or baked that really stands out to you?
I always got a kick out of my regulars that wanted cookies on a regular basis. I felt I was being a small part of their celebrations. Like I have a couple of families that I did their bridal shower cookies, and then I did their wedding cookies. And then I got to do baby shower cookies, and then I got to do birthday party cookies. So that is a fun thing for me to see. I know the least favorite cookies that I did back in the day were these Lala Loopsie dolls that was some rage. I had never heard of them, but they were insane. I would charge $100 a dozen if I ever did them again. It was so many colors. They were hand cut. It was crazy. But some of the favorite ones, I liked doing minis. I was known as the mini queen, and minis I consider to be about an inch size cookie. I loved doing those. They were just like this little mini piece of artwork. And my niche in this is that I frosted both sides of them. And so I figured more sugar, the better. So those were always fun. I always loved doing the minis.
I'm just thinking about, you know, you're a very social person and, you know, you do this in large part for the social interaction. But of course, when you run a business like this, on the flip side of it, you got to be stuck in your kitchen for a lot of the time, too. Has that been a challenge at all?
It has. In the beginning, not as much. It was just me and I had the free time. I mean, you know, my husband worked and I was unemployed and so I was home. And so it was easier. These days, I am a grandmother of two grandsons, and I am a full-time grandma while my daughter's at work. So they make it quite a bit more challenging. So I have dedicated days that she has to work around during farmers market season. Like last year for the farmers market, I made muffins from the time I got up to the time I went to bed. It was all muffins and packaging to be ready for the market in the morning.
How old are your grandsons?
A 9-year-old and a 2-year-old. Happily, the 9-year-old is a little more self-sufficient, but the 2-year-old is a little more demanding.
And are you taking care of the 2-year-old every day of the week?
5 days a week.
Wow. So you're just as busy as any stay-at-home parent.
Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And at the time, I never knew how they ever did it. You know, when I was doing cookies by myself, you know, friends and you hear of people, 3 kids and they're still doing all these cookies. I'm like, I don't know how they do it. I wouldn't be able to do it with the kids.
I mean, has your business sort of like pulled back quite a bit with the little baby in the house?
I'll let you know this year, because last year I didn't have them as much, so I was able to work my schedule. Like I said, every Monday I would bake from sunup to sundown. My markets are on Tuesday and Wednesdays. They're both evening markets, so it worked into the schedule. I didn't have them as much last year. This year I have him, like I said, 5 days a week, 40 hours a week. He'll be going to markets with me. So I'll let you know this year.
Is there ever part of you that just thinks, you know, I'm a happy grandma, busy, like I don't need to have a business on top of this?
No, I kind of need the business. You know, they are our lives, but they go home. You know, I get to send them home. I need to still have this outlet in my life. I just have to remember I'm not as young as I used to be.
So how often do you do the markets? Like, what does your season or year look like?
Yeah, because I'm in New York, we have pretty long winters. Our market season is only from June to October. And I do the two markets a week, Tuesday and Wednesday evenings. I wish it was longer. I wish they'd start a little earlier, but people come for the produce and there just isn't any produce before June. So
then do the bulk of your sales in a year just revolve around those months?
Yes. Yeah. There's a few, I'll do a few shows before that. I'll start maybe in another month or so and start doing a few shows, maybe once a month or something like that. There's a couple of big shows that I'll do during the summer, big festivals. That just takes up my weekend. It really doesn't even interfere with the markets because they're during the week. So it works out pretty well.
Just scrolling through your Facebook feed, it looked like you've done a lot of non-farmers markets, like a lot of shows, a lot of festivals. Are these things that you do every year? It seems like you do a lot.
I go to my hometown and I always did this. They have a sidewalk chalk festival. And I started that in like around 2018. That was before I was approved. And so I think that was not an agricultural setting. So I probably shouldn't have been there. But because it was hometown and you knew everybody, they didn't seem to mind. So I did that probably off the books for a few years. But now I can do it, quote unquote, legally. So that festival I did every year. And that was just for fun. I was successful at it, so it made me keep coming back. And then just this holiday season in 2022 is when I really started doing the holiday markets, you know, through October, November, and December. I was new. This was something new for me, and just trying to find different markets in the area and just going every weekend and, again, just having fun.
And so during farmers market season, are you doing like one market a week, two markets a week?
Two markets a week, Tuesday and Wednesdays, surrounding towns. One's about a half hour from me, so they're all pretty local, but two a week.
About how much are you selling on a weekly basis?
I make probably five different varieties of muffins, and I probably make between 20 and 30 of each kind. Do I have leftovers? Sure, and luckily muffins freeze really well. But that seems to be a pretty good number. And that will usually hold me for the 2 days, the two markets. I have been known to really sell out the first day and have to make more that night for the next day's market. But that's a good thing.
So you're taking your leftovers and you do freeze them to sell later. You're just busy the day beforehand. Like, do you have a dough day and a bake day, or is it all just all in one day?
It's all in one day. From the time I get up to the time I go to bed is all muffins. I want them to be as fresh as possible. And so there's not a whole lot of things I can do ahead of time if I want them as fresh as possible. Now, the cookie bites, yes, I usually will do them the day before. So like say on Sunday, I'll do the bites. And then all day Monday, I do muffins.
And with the markets, are you selling mostly to regular customers? Are a lot of customers new?
I have a lot of regulars. The markets that I'm in have room for growth. So they are continually trying to get more and more people in, more vendors. That helps to bring more people in. I do have my regulars, but yes, I still see newbies coming. So That's always fun.
Do you do samples at markets?
I don't. It depends. If I have something really outlandish that I don't know what people will think, then I may have some samples. But on a regular basis, no, I don't. I will do some samples at like some of the more holiday craft shows to do cookies. I'll give samples of some of the cookies.
Well, I know you've been doing markets for years and you've done a lot of shows, a lot of markets. What does your booth look like these days that, you know, maybe you've learned things over time in order to sell more? How has that changed over time?
My tent has gotten better, much better. You need a really good tent. I've had fun making banners. You might see, because I'm in this new market for the last couple of years, I switched to muffins. And so my Facebook page has a split personality now. Half of it is the cookie cutters. And for the market, I'm now become the personality of making muffins and more. So, you know, I have fun doing the banners. Again, it's the creative thing peeks in. I really like decorating my table. I don't like to do the same thing over and over. So like my tablecloth changes every week. I do Christmas in July. So I do Christmas flavors and Christmas decorations. I'm an entertainer at home. Like I like to have people over. And so I have a lot of display dishes and display trays, and things go on sale and I buy it not knowing what I'm going to do with it. So I like to work all that in. So I would have like 3-tier plates that I put everything on and, you know, tried to make it as nice and appealing as I could. And that was even when I began. Now I have these 3-tier wooden shelves. They look really professional. So it's got a bakery feel kind of to it, I think. And so those are fun. I have them on both sides of my table and just filled with muffins. Every week looks different. I like to do a different thing every week.
So you focus so much on muffins now, but your business name is still The Cookie Cutters. Do you wish you had chosen a name that was more generic?
At the time, no. That was perfect. I still like the cookie cutters. It's kind of the mother. It's what's on all my paperwork. It's my legal business. It's what's on my labels, things like that. But I have a banner for making muffins and more for the farmers market, so they know I make muffins and not cookies.
So it doesn't bother you that your business name doesn't necessarily reflect what you're doing now?
For now, no. I mean, who knows what I'll do, what will come up next, or what I'll decide to change. I don't know. I feel if I change it, like I like having those 6,000 people on my page. And if I change it, I feel like I'd be starting all over again. So I kind of just kind of mix the two on my one page.
Well, part of the reason why I ask is because I feel like people get really worked up about their business name, right? And, you know, just want it to be perfect, you know, don't want it to put them in a corner. You have any advice for that type of person?
I know people like that. And yes, I lamented quite a while trying to find the cookie cutters. Do I have people that think I sell cookie cutters? Absolutely, even to this day. But I have to explain sometimes it's because I cut cookies. So I'm the cookie cutter. But it is an important thing. But again, I go back to the fun part of it. Just be fun. So you do that, your customer knows what you do. Just have fun.
Yeah, I saw that you actually have made cookie cutters before, right?
I did. That was fun. It was a custom order and they wanted particular things and I couldn't find, it was for owls, and I couldn't find the right shape of cutter that I wanted. So I said, okay, I'll make them. And luckily at that point, Sugar Bell had a tutorial out making them from foil tin cookie sheets. It was a fun project. It was a fun project. Did I do it very often after that? No, but it served its purpose and it came out good. It was a fun thing to do. Well, now they have printers to do all that.
I know that for at least a long time there, you're pretty active in the cookie decorating community. You went to Cookie Con, correct?
Yep, I've been to 3 Cookie Cons. I didn't go to the very, very first one Technically, the very first one was a very small personal kind of gathering, not like anything like it is now. And then I went to the second one, which is the first time it really was a big, I think there were 500 at that point. But I will say that was the best time that I've had, was that year. It was the best CookieCon. And if you ask anyone that was there, they will agree that it was the best CookieCon of all of them. It was fun to meet everybody that you started to do this. This was in 2014, so it relatively was still really new. I like to say we have a really good neighborhood, this cookie neighborhood that I'm in. It's really great. So yeah, I've been to 3 cookie cons. Each time is fun, but that first one was really special.
Do you feel like you sort of pulled away from the community at all now that you're focused on muffins?
I have. I feel it's still a good community. The cookiers can really do good things out there, but it has changed. It's huge. I feel it's a little oversaturated. It's just, I don't know anybody anymore. Yes, I didn't keep up with it. My core cookier friends, I'm still friends with them. They're my best friends to this day, who I came up with. We like to say we're the OGs. There's just so many people now. And yeah, I've lost track of people. I can't keep up with it these days.
You said cookiers can do good things. I don't know if you're referring to some of the charitable work that sometimes goes into that, but I know you've done some. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I do mean the good things, that they can do some good things and put good things out into this world. We would always rally around whoever needed some help, if they were going through a health scare, if they'd lost everything in a natural disaster, anything. We would rally, we would have benefits, we would have auctions, you know, we'd create a dozen cookies and do auctions. I would say the biggest charitable thing that I am so proud that I was able to be a part of was the GoBo Foundation. It's still a current foundation. It was about a young boy who had a particular type of cancer, and he just was wise beyond his years. And his philosophy before he passed away was to just put good things out into that world. And if you could help your neighbor, then you help your neighbor. It was a friend, a cookier friend of ours, lived in the same area as Bo. This is in Wisconsin. They don't have them anymore, but she started a cookie bake sale to benefit the GoBo Foundation. And sadly, he passed away. I don't know what year offhand now, but he passed away just before this bake sale, this huge bake sale. And she just put a word out to all of us to donate cookies, decorate whatever you want and send them to her. And she organized this huge bake sale, and it got bigger and bigger every year. She was getting cookiers from around the world sending her cookies. I think she was able to get a cookier from every state to donate cookies. And it turned into, from a one-day bake sale to a three-day weekend festival. I mean, it grew. And a simple cookie raised thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for this foundation. I'm proud I was able to be a part of that.
So you obviously have been doing this for a long time, have quite a bit of skill. Have you done any decorating classes or anything like that?
I had a feeling you would ask that. I have not. I haven't delved into that yet. Again, you get everybody saying, you should do that. You should do that. I do know there's a lot of cookiers in my area that do that. So I don't find it too important that I do. Do I think I'd have fun doing it? Yes. One of the drawbacks is I mentioned earlier, I don't use royal icing. I don't like royal icing. I don't want to make royal icing. So my cookies are a buttercreamish frosting. My cookies are a sour cream sugar cookie. They're not a hard, strict cutout cookie. They're my grandmother's recipe that we make every Christmas for holiday cookies. So it's a nostalgic thing for me. But with a buttercreamish frosting, it doesn't really harden too quickly. It will harden, it will crust over, but it doesn't harden like royal icing. So I'm afraid if I did a class with my frosting, it would just be a mess. Like they would have to take home wet cookies. I haven't figured it out yet. Will I do them? I might do a class here and there in the future.
I must say, I'm pretty surprised that you haven't done that, just considering how much of a people person you are, how socially oriented you are. And it just seems like you'd have a blast doing classes.
I think I would. I did say I'm outgoing, but I do feel I'm kind of an introvert. Like, I have my insecurities and, like, gee, could I stand up there and give a class? Kind of it intimidates me, I guess, is what I want to say. Do I think I would have fun? Absolutely. But there's that intimidation factor that's still in my head.
And I actually feel like it's the opposite of what you said, where, you know, you do a unique cookie, which is something different, you know, instead of it being like what you're afraid of, I could see it being an actual differentiation for you in your area.
Yeah, because people bring it up to me and it's been in my head for a couple of years, but there's a lot that do it around here. I do fear the oversaturation aspect of cookiers.
What I would say to that is, you know, you're looking at just decorating classes, and I'm sure there's plenty of them, but with any business, yours included, people aren't really buying the decorating classes, right? They're buying you, and nobody in your area can replicate you and your personality, and you will attract certain people to your classes that maybe wouldn't be exactly as good of a fit for other classes. So, I mean, I honestly feel like there is probably plenty of space in the market, and obviously can't know till you try, but you have something to offer that nobody else does because of your personality and, you know, who you will naturally attract to your classes.
Well, I appreciate that. That's a different way of looking at it. We may see that in the future.
I can't let you go before I ask you about your t-shirts. Yeah, probably the most cookie and muffin t-shirts I've ever seen.
I love my t-shirts, and I love that you noticed them, because I take a picture of whatever shirt I'm wearing that week at the farmers markets, all the shows, Amazon. It's wonderful. You can find anything at Amazon. Like I said, I like to have fun, and it's an attention, you know, the kids like it, the parents always, you know, someone always comments on the t-shirt I'm wearing, and it's just fun.
Well, as you think back on this pretty long journey, do you have any advice for someone who's just getting started today?
I would say do it. If you like baking, just do it. It's a good outlet. I'll repeat it. It's all about having fun and making your heart full. I'm at the age, I'm going through a midlife crisis. I don't need the drama, you know, everything I do, I want it to make me happy. I want to be proud of what I do. So yeah, do it. And I think the cottage food, I think that's a great place to start. It's a good way to get your feet wet. It gives you guidelines to get started. So if you want it as a hobby, it's good. But if you want it to push you into a higher form, then you can do that. You can move into commercial, you know, that kind of thing. But I think it's a good starting place. You can't predict anything at all, so don't try. But be willing to change. Try to find what works for you. You know, what works for one person won't work for you, and vice versa. So just try and find what works for you and just have fun with it. And the support system, I meant to say too, is you need a support system. My husband's great through all of this. He goes to all the shows with me. We consider it our quality time, sitting there at a show together. And he does all the manual labor, lugging the tables and the chairs and all and whatnot. He doesn't want to admit it, but he has fun during them too.
What do you feel like has surprised you in your business?
I would say the connections that I've made. Like, I never would have envisioned the cookie community the way that it is, the customers that I have, because it's not just baking for me. So I would say it's like the connections that I've made.
Well, just thinking about your journey, you've done a lot over the last 12, 13 years. As you look ahead, what are your goals? Where do you see this going?
I'm going to have fun bringing my grandson to the farmers markets. I need to be more picky about the shows that I'm doing, I feel. There's duds out there, and I got to be better at picking the better shows. And I think my next pivot is I might get my toe wet making bread. there's a hole in the farmers markets that I'm in. No one does bread and everybody wants bread. So I may try some simple recipes just to see if I like it, like doing it, and if they sell. So that might be the next thing. I'll still do the muffins and the cookies, but I might add some loaves of bread in there.
I'd say, summing up what you've shared here, what you're probably going to focus on the most is meeting people and having fun.
I would agree. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all that with us today. Now, if somebody would like to learn more about you, how could they find you or where can they reach out?
Find me on Facebook. Again, I'm old school, so I'm just on Facebook and it's under The Cookie Cutters. You can message me there.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing with us today.
Well, thanks for having me, David. It's been really fun doing this today.
That wraps up another episode of the Forager Podcast. For more information about this episode, go to forager.com/podcast/110. And if you are enjoying this podcast, please take a quick moment right now and leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. It doesn't have to be a long review, but it's truly the best way to support this show and will help others like you find this podcast. And finally, if you're thinking about selling your own homemade food, check out my free mini course where I walk you through the steps you need to take to get a cottage food business off the ground. To get the course, go to cottagefoodcourse.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.